This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement, where we'll be reflecting on bad news this week for any player who had designs on winning the EFL Goal of the Season award. Two words, Ismail Assar. In any other week, we'll be talking about another wonder strike from our first guest, who has spent his whole career following in famous footsteps.
But I think as I've got older and as I've started to realise, you know, the talent that I had in myself and the ability that I had in myself, that I tried to make my own name in the game. And to be honest, I'm proud of the name that I have on my shirt. I'm proud of the player that I am.
And we'll meet a manager who had a mainly happy homecoming.
You know, it wasn't just going back to an old club where I used to play at. You know, I'm from the area. I was born and bred in the area. I've got family in the area. You can't really win in those circumstances. The only thing you can do is be professional and do your job.
It's the official EFL podcast. An example of how to play with a work ethic for his team. Thomas was immense. The words of the Reading manager, Paul Ince, in the aftermath of his number 10 earning a penalty and then rasping one in from outside the box in last weekend's win against Cardiff City. Can you try and work out who it is he's talking about, Tom Ince, do you think? Who would that be?
I think it might be me. I think it might be.
I think you might be absolutely right. I mean, I'm guessing the whole dad-son thing. I bet over the course of your career, you've been through every possible permutation, have you, from being annoyed about people bringing it up to actually quite embracing it and backwards and forwards? Or because he's always been so part of your football life, is it water off a duck's back to you?
Yeah, I think, listen, it's always been something that's, tarnish isn't the right word. I mean, something that's been associated with me ever since I was playing, you know, even when I came through at Liverpool Academy. People would always say, oh, there's Paul Ince's son and all the rest of it. But I think as I've got older and as I've started to realise, you know, the talent that I had in myself and the ability that I had in myself, that I tried to make my own name in the game. I think my dad set unbelievable high standards. And I think you're always going to be, like I said, associated with that name. You know, when you can see it today and on TV, for instance, my goal on Saturday, it's, you know, son of Paul. And, you know, sometimes people can say, oh, do you get annoyed that it's not just like Thomas Ince? And to be honest, I'm proud. I'm proud of the name that I have on my shirt. I'm proud of the player that I am. He's helped me along the way massively in that. He's always tried to push me, always allowed me to just sort of follow my own footsteps and, you know, in how I play the game and not basically on what he is. I think the big thing for me is that I'm a totally different player to him. Different position, different style of player. So when I look back, it's definitely to have Ince on the back of my shirt. I am very, very proud.
Yeah, as he is of you, because I've worked with him quite a lot on TV and stuff. And mate, you know, you sit down and ask how the family is, and it's a good hour-long chat about you for starters. But, and you've alluded to it a little bit, I'm guessing he's been your strongest critic at times as well to push you onto the next step consistently over your career.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think the biggest one is myself. He will always guide me and offer me advice. The untold times we've watched games back, whether that's been with him managing me or me at other clubs, it'll always be every Sunday I'll go to the family house and he'll have the game on and he'll pause, play, what could we have done better there? What could you have done better there? And this is most recent as well. We're going back a couple of years, not when I'm 19, 20. It's still happening when I'm 28, 29. But that's just the relationship we have. You know, I think as much as we're father and son, it's ex-player and player. You know, like I said, he's played at the highest level, played for some fantastic clubs. So to take his advice and his guidance throughout my career has been great. But I think the biggest thing he's done for me is allow me to flourish in how I want to. Primarily, the decision lies with me. And I play the game how I want to play the game. He's always said that, listen, I will always help you in whatever you need, but you're an experienced pro now. You know the standards you set of yourself. So as much as he is a critic, he knows more than anyone that myself, I expect high standards of myself, and I know when I've played well and when I haven't.
Yeah, I think there's a recurring theme here, but actually you're quite lucky because I went to see Ivan Toney a couple of months ago and he said his dad did exactly the same, except his dad's got no football pedigree whatsoever. He's just like pushing his son all the time. So I think your quid's in there. I got to ask you, you know, obviously this is what you Notts County loan spell, Blackpool, and here. I haven't missed any others where you were playing for him, have I? Have you ever had any of those tricky moments? I always remember Lee Johnson saying to me when his dad, Gary, was managing him at Bristol City, he forgot where he was in the middle of a training session and shouted, "Dad," across. "Dad, what do you want me to do?" And of course, the lads gave him absolute pelters for it. Have you ever had any of those blurred lines?
I don't think so, no. I think I'm probably aware of it. I don't think I've really had any moments where I've had to shout. I think if I did, then I'll probably wait till I'm like in close quarters with him so I can sort of whisper "Dad" to him rather than "Gaffer." I try not to just call him anything when I'm around the lads. He just sort of comes around, shakes everyone's hand, so I just say "Morning." So I try not to say "Dad" or "Gaffer." Really, it seems a bit strange calling it either one. But I think I was fortunate when I was in Notts County because obviously I was a young lad at the time, and it was more a case of just breaking out and getting some game time. And I think that was the hardest part because Dad was obviously manager at Notts County. And a lot of people would say, "Oh, well, you've only brought your son in," and all the rest of it. But I managed to show people what I was about at such an early age when I went to Notts County and enjoyed my time there. Blackpool was probably slightly different because I'd already sort of established myself as one of the main players there. So it was more about him coming to join me rather than me joining him. And then obviously at Reading, you know, it's funny how these things work, for him to be out of the game for so long. And then I get the call again saying, "Yeah, I'm going to be your new manager as of tomorrow." I was thinking, "Oh, here we go again. Can't get away from you." But no, it's great. You know, it's nice. I think obviously I know Alex Bruce really well and how it worked with Steve, and obviously they're together at West Brom at the minute. I think it's nice to keep it in the family, and it's, all it is just try and bring success for Reading, both for me personally and for my dad as well.
Yeah, you have just let on to us before we started recording this that temporarily, at least, you're kind of back sharing an apartment in Reading with him and stuff. I mean, is that hard? If there's a bit of a dust up on the training field, do you have to go to your room like a like a 15-year-old and go and have a little sulk, or can you put it behind you when you're sitting around the dinner table?
It's more a case if he goes to his room.
Yeah, he does actually. He can do petulant, can your old man, can't he?
Yeah, I just sort of tend to get the hoover out and sort of start ironing me clothes so it's fresh for tomorrow's training. To be fair, it's fine. Like I said, we have obviously a manager-player relationship, but first and foremost, it's father and son. And I think we've got that really strong bond as far as that's concerned. So that's great. Like I said, he's got his apartment. It's nice to spend time to come away from football. There's different stresses for football, obviously, for players as to managers. So he's out quite a lot of the day doing some stuff at training, trying to work on a few things, preparations for games. And I just try and act as a normal player, you know, finish at a normal time, come back, do my own thing. And like I said, the last sort of month or so, we've been having dinner together, chatting about the family, chatting about football. So that's a bit better. It's nothing that's weird to me. Like I said, it's more a case of a father and son bond.
Where are you at with your career? How do you look at where you've been so far? How are you feeling about stuff right now? Of course, I am catching you in the aftermath of that worldie. And you do like, you've always said what inspired you was the magic moments, not just the, you know, putting the crosses in as a winger. You've always said it's those little moments that really grab you. But how are you feeling about stuff?
Yeah, I think throughout the course of my career, I think there's been times where, you know, I've made the right decisions, I made the wrong decisions, leaving clubs at a certain time. Maybe I should have stayed a little bit longer. But I think you can always look back, and I try not to look back with regret. And listen, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I know that throughout the path of my career, I could have made different choices or something like that. But where I look at it now is a case of I've got a lot of experience under my belt. I like to think that I'm an established player in the Championship. I know what I'm capable of doing at this level, but there's still that burning desire to try and get back to the Premier League. I'd be stupid not to say that. I think that I still feel good in myself, in my body, feel fitter than I've ever felt. But my main focus is to try and win as many games as I can for Reading, try and get this club at the top end of the table over the next sort of season or two seasons, however long that may take. But where I am right now, I'm happy. You know, I'm enjoying my football. Listen, it's great when you come off the back of a win, scoring the goal that I did. But the goal to me is a bonus. It's been a tough pre-season. It's going to be a tough season. But from an individual point of view, my aim is to help this team, to try and win games and also to try and score goals and not so much get my name back out on the map, but show people that, you know, at this level, I can be a threat. I can score goals. I can win matches. I can create them magic moments, because a lot of the teammates in this team, in my team, rely on me for that. So as well as my work ethic and trying to, like I said, win games for this football club, I have to try and be a match winner. And like I said, Saturday was nice, so I have to try and continue that.
Some people will look at you bringing in Joe Lumley on loan, Sam Hutch, Jeff Kendrick's come in, hasn't he? Shane Long caught the eye. I mean, he made his first start 11 years after his last start last weekend. I wondered how this went down with Tom McIntyre, because do you know Tom McIntyre used to be a season ticket holder and watched Shane the first time around? I mean, I don't know how that makes Shane feel, but I also wondered whether there was a bit of star worship going on when he wandered into training for the first time.
Well, you know what it was? I think when Shane Long first did his medical, he came into the physio room, and Tom Mack was next to me on the physio bed. And I promise you now, he must have stared at him and looked at him up and down for a good 5-10 minutes. And all the lads were like, "You're right, Tom Mack." He was like, "This is my hero. Like, I had him on my wall and everything." So it was a little bit surreal, because obviously we didn't know. Obviously, you know what Long is. You know, his affiliation with Reading, but Tom Mack was like starstruck. I was thinking, wow, Tom. So yeah, it's a little bit surreal for him, but it's great to see, you know, a young lad playing with his hero as such. So no, it was a really nice reunion.
Are you a sort of, you obviously been around the Championship a long time. Do you kind of study all the different contenders? Are you that kind of guy, start of the season, you look at who the runners and riders are, who you're likely to be coming up against, or do you tend to do it in blocks over the course of a season?
No, I think you know, as players, you always look out for the certain fixtures, sometimes former clubs, sometimes teams who have come down from the Premier League. You got big clubs in here like Sunderland and Wigan now, obviously. Never played at Stadium Light, so that's obviously a nice thing to look forward to. But I think, you know, as players, you just sort of get on with it. The games come that thick and fast. You just try and accumulate as many points as possible. And this is a very strange league. You know, it is, you know, every week you can't guarantee who's going to beat who. So whereas some fixtures may look like a given, the Championship always springs surprises on you.
Your old man has just got home from work. And I'll level with people listening. We're doing this late afternoon on a Wednesday. Who's cooking dinner tonight, first of all? What's the plan for dinner tonight? Do we know?
I think we're going out for dinner tonight. I think my dad's treating me tonight. So
is he? Do you flip-flop on that? You get it one time, he gets it the other?
It depends where we're going, you see. Sometimes, it's, you know, if we're going for McDonald's, then it's on me. If not, then it's definitely him.
That's good strategic thinking, Tom. Listen, I don't want to impinge on family time together. And also, your dad was having the international door slamming tournament in the background just a second ago.
Yeah.
He likes to have a little door slam, does he?
Yeah.
Give him our best. Lovely to talk to you, Tom. Keep up the great work.
Take care. Thank you.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
2 weeks into the season and 7 EFL teams still have 100% records. Blackburn Rovers in the Skybet Championship, Peterborough United in Skybet League 1 and in Skybet League 2, Walsall, Crewe Alexandra, Leighton Orient, Barrow and Stevenage. We can talk to the Walsall manager, Mike Flynn, who maintained his perfect start with a win at his former club and indeed home city club last weekend. And whichever way you look at it, Mike, you know, 4 spells as a player, 4 years as manager, the great escape from dropping out of the league, twice to the League Two playoff final, all those cup upsets. That must have been a bit of a weird experience, mate.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody the other day and, you know, people don't realise, you know, it wasn't just going back to an old club where I used to play at. You know, I'm from the area. I was born and bred in the area. I've got family in the area. We live around the area. So you add all those emotions and feelings to it. Yeah, I didn't realise until afterwards when I sat back and thought about it more, because I was quite relaxed during the build up to it. If I'm honest, I was keen to keep it all about the players, just another away game, really. But when I sat back and, you know, I was pretty drained, to be honest, because I said in the press afterwards, I've never wanted Newport to lose in my lifetime. Wow. And it was quite a horrible feeling, to be honest, because I didn't think, you look at it, you can't really win in those circumstances. The only thing you can do is be professional and do your job.
And just to be clear, as you went about your career and your appearances for Gillingham and Bradford and all the rest of it, had you never faced Newport County before as a player?
No, never.
Wow.
You know, they were in non-league. You know, Conference South won, you know, for a long time. And then when I moved back as a player, that's when we won the playoffs, the conference playoffs, and got back to the league. So, yeah, I never came across Newport. So it was the first result I looked for. And, you know, it still is. You know, I still want them to do well. But I've got a job to do for Walsall Football Club, and, you know, so far so good, and I'm really enjoying my time here.
Did you have to sort of drill yourself as you walked into the stadium and tell yourself, you know, the little chatterbox in your head and go, make sure you go in the away dressing room, make sure you go. Did you have to counsel yourself against a really obvious mistake like that?
Well, just getting off the coach was weird. We got a completely different entrance, went in a different way. I've never been in that way in all my life. Living in Newport, never been in there. The last time I was in the away change rooms is when we were sat talking to Pep Guardiola and the Man City players after we played them. So that was a little bit weird, if I'm honest. I made a joke of it to the players and said, you're lucky we sat in here because we've had Pep in you. We give it that one to them, just try and lighten the mood. But there's a few things that were familiar. So Newport have changed their warming up. The end they warm up in. So we was warming up in our normal end. And they swapped the dugouts around. So I actually sat in the seat that I'd been sat in for nearly 5 years. And I was probably the most comfortable in the ground.
Yeah. Good name drop, by the way. Nice to get that in. Nice to get that in nice and early. I can tick that one off the list. I'll get the Mikel Arteta mention in a little bit later, mate. On a serious note, and this dovetails into the football authorities, that's the Premier League, the EFL and the FA's initiative to try and improve supporter behaviour. One or two numpties could not see the big picture, could not see all you'd done for that club over the years, and it rather soured the occasion for your return.
Well, I'm going to say it actually sweetened the occasion because it made me feel better about winning. And like you said, there was only one or two. 99% of those fans were absolutely first class. I had a fantastic ovation myself and Wayne. And it really made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It's something that I won't forget. But it's the same in all walks of life and society. It only takes one or two to spoil it. You know, I'm pleased that Newport have acted sharply. They've banned somebody already, I've just read, pending a police investigation. And look, it's, you know, there's families, there's kids there. And it's the reason why my wife didn't want the children to go that day. You know, maybe sometimes you think it's an overreaction, but you know what? She was proved right just because of the unsavoury one or two. And I do mean one or two because I don't want Newport County fans all being tarnished the same. You get it. It's not just Newport County fans. You know, I'm sure there's fans all around the country which misbehave, but that doesn't mean it's right. You know, it's a totally different atmosphere and I would say occasion now for what it used to be in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s. You know, this community, the community is heavily involved. You know, we need to attract in the new generation. You need parents to feel comfortable taking their kids. And that's how you grow your fan base, because you need to keep that, I'm going to say, that production line of fans coming through the gate and the parents still bringing them. So, look, there is a big responsibility to make sure that people behave. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think probably it's occasions like this when we do need to bang the drum and say, I'm sorry if you think this is acceptable behaviour. It's not acceptable behaviour. It wouldn't be acceptable behaviour out on the streets. So why should it be acceptable behaviour in football stadia? But I'm not going to let it undermine what should be a joyous chat. And there's quite a lot to catch up on, actually. Were you surprised by the purchase by the Trivella Group, or a newly formed US sports investment firm, in the summer of a majority stake in the club? Or did you know it was looming, and was that one of the reasons why you tied your colours to the mast back in February and joined Walsall?
I've got to be honest, I didn't know when I first joined. I was impressed with Lee Pomfletz, he's co-chairman now. I was impressed with his ambition and his passion for the football club. I've got to say, Jamie Fullerton was good in bringing me in. He was relentless in trying to get me through the door. But I was aware of the takeover, you know, after that. Obviously, we had to keep quiet and didn't want any bumps in the road, so to speak, because there's a lot of due diligence and legal work that's got to go you know, around that. And you know, it's a compliment to Lee, the chairman, and Stefan, who's the CEO, that they were able to keep it under wraps, because, you know, sometimes he's got a nasty habit of getting leaked. After meeting the Trivella group, Ben, co-chairman, Matt Jordan, I met, you know, two others yesterday, the day before, Wesley and Bill, who... They're unbelievable. Their passion and, you know, their plans for the place is really promising and really exciting. So, you know, less obviously winning games helps, and I've got to keep them sweet. But, you know, at the minute, I can see genuine people who really want to help the football club and myself and Wayne.
Fantastic. You are through to round two of the Carabao Cup after beating Swindon Town. Mike, can I just ask you, upsets galore? You know, lower division teams beating teams from a higher division. I mean, you were a king of this at Newport County. Why so many upsets? I mean, if I look at the Tuesday games alone, 27 games, and there were 13 of the lower ranked team that actually won those games. Why?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of the teams have maybe rotated a lot, you know, to try and give squad players minutes before...
Too much?
Possibly, you know, it's easy to say afterwards that it's too much if the strong, you know, the higher division has lost. But, you know, sometimes you've got to give the lower teams credit. You know, for example, Newport winning at Luton. They've never won at Luton. And that's a fantastic result because Newport made changes. You know, us beating Swindon last night, we made changes. Swindon made changes. You can go all the way through. So you've got to give the smaller clubs some credit sometimes, because on any given day they can raise their quality and give any team a run for their money if the other team is weakened and not fully at their best, the best of their ability and playing at their most fluidity. So it is a lot. But sometimes the credit's got to be given to the team that's caused the upset.
Yeah, Skybet League Two fixtures this coming weekend. I'll just pick out the ones that involve the five teams on maximum points. Leighton Orient at home to Mansfield. Crewe visit Salford. Barrow, oh my goodness me, the emotional roller coaster we discussed with Pete Wild last week. He had it again at the weekend with his latest win against Bradford. And two of them play each other. Mike's Walsall up against Steve Evans, Stevenage. And again, just looking at those clubs there, let alone everybody else, it's the variety of different approaches in this division, is it not, Mike, that must make it hellish difficult to anticipate from week to week, or mean that you are constantly on your toes looking at those very different minute details that go into putting a football team out on a pitch?
Yeah, look, this for me, this division this year is the toughest I can remember it being. There's a lot of teams who are going to take points off each other this year. So, yeah, it's about being consistent. It's about getting points on the board early. You know, you look at the five unbeaten clubs at the minute, the five have won all three. You know, whether, you know, there's one gone on the weekend because we're playing Stevenage. If Barrow win and we win, there's one gone on Tuesday because we're playing each other on Tuesday night. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll quickly dwindle down to no teams with a 100% record. Leighton Orient have started really well. Crewe have come down and you know, really started, you know, the way they needed to, really, because obviously it would have been a lot of disappointment around the place after relegation, but they've seemed to have kicked that feeling right out the touch. So, yeah, it is a tough league. You've got the likes of Bradford, Mansfield, you know, Tranmere haven't started great, but they're going to be strong. Northampton,
who missed out in virtually the last kick of last season from automatic promotion.
Yeah, Northampton are going to be tough to beat. Newport, you know, I'm telling you, you know, we played them on the weekend. They were a good team. They'll go on a run. It's as simple as that. You know, it is just so unpredictable. And I think that's why it makes it the hardest it's been for a long while. You know, you always try and think, well, they're going to struggle this year. You know, maybe those two could go down. I could not pick out two teams who I think could go down this year. You know, like the obvious choices as maybe has been in the past few seasons. You know, I don't think there's anybody having money troubles and stuff like that in terms of threatening whether they can bring players in or points deduction, etc. So yeah, it just seems a more solid league this year, and it's going to be a tough 8-9 months.
Mike, give us a little insight. Would you give yourself an evening now and again to just go through and go on the opposition club's websites and look at who they've brought in and just keep abreast and study the characteristics of all the teams you're going to be coming up against? Or do you do it on a game-by-game basis?
Yeah, listen, you know, we tried to plan, you know, three games ahead in terms of we're gathering the information from, for example, you know, we would have had Stevenage from the first game, the second game. We would have had that, I know it's the start of the season. Barrow, we will have three games, you know, ready for when we play them on Tuesday night. You start seeing a little pattern then, you know, their patterns of play will come out, their approach to the game, how they set up home, how they set up away. The analysis we do, you know, myself, Wayne, and, you know, the rest of the staff, Matt Sadler has been good, Dan Watson, a goalkeeping coach. So, we've got a very, very good team. I feel I've got a good team around me who know the game and can see, you know, exactly the traits we're looking for and how we can exploit them. Obviously, you like to think every team are doing it, so they'll be doing the same to us. And we've got to, you know, combat how teams who have caused us problems, we can nullify that and improve them, you know, for the next time we play them or play somebody who approached the game the same as, you know, that team did. So it's a big, big part of the game now, the analysis.
Sky Bet League One, your standout fixtures, Portsmouth head to, well, I don't want to call Cheltenham beleaguered, but they've not had a great start to the season, or indeed midweek. Derby are at home to Barnsley. Ipswich, one of the most fancied teams, take on MK Dons. Of course, missed out in the playoffs last time around. Plymouth entertain Peterborough, the only team with a 100% record, and Sheffield Wednesday at home to Charlton. I mean, we say it constantly, Mike, but there are some massive, massive clubs in that division.
Well, it is. It's, you know, it's like a mini championship, really. You look at six clubs there. I think it was more last season, the likes of Wigan, Sunderland, you know, Rotherham there as well. So it's a tough league. There's a lot of, you know, I'm saying a lot, this club spending a lot of money as well, trying to get back into the championship. But for me, you know, I think Ipswich will you know, anybody who finishes above Ipswich, I think, will be promoted. For me, they're the standout team, the way they've gone about the recruitment, the players they brought in, and the quality of players they brought in. So, yeah, they'll be my pick. You know,
you come across Kieran McKenna at all in your travels, in amongst your coaching courses with Mikel Arteta? There, got it in. have you come across him?
No, obviously I know. Like Kieran was at Manchester United. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity he's been given at Ipswich. You know, I think it's a massive club, Ipswich. But like you said to me earlier, with that it'll bring his pressures. But if he gets him promoted, then there's nothing to be, you know, feeling pressured about. That's their main aim. That's their goal. And I'm sure they'll do everything they can to achieve that this year. Sheffield Wednesday are going to be tough. You know, Darren Moore's done a good job there as well. Peterborough looking to bounce back again. You know, they showed a fantastic mindset and belief to keep going at the opening day of the season when they 2-0 down. So, look, there's a lot of teams in there who can beat anybody. But I do think there's a bit of a bigger gap between the top teams and the bottom teams in League One.
And in the Sky Bet Championship, well, actually, a lot of the main contenders for promotion play each other. Friday night fixture, Watford against Burnley. It's Borough against Sheffield United is your early kickoff on Sunday, followed by Blackburn with that 100% record against West Brom. I mean, it was the three down plus Borough, West Brom, Sheffield United, everybody was tipping. Is it hard to go outside there, or have Blackburn already done enough to suggest they could stay the course and be in the mix?
I think Blackburn can be in the mix just because of the season they had last year. You know, they've recruited wisely. You know, Sammy Smodic, I really like, he goes and scores on his debut. Yeah. Didn't quite work out for him at Bristol City, but he's a player I've always admired. Burnley, you know, it's nice to see, you know, Craig Bellamy there and Scott Twine. So I've got an eye on them. Watford, Rob Edwards, who's a friend of mine, done unbelievable job last season at Forest Green and has earned his opportunity. So, you know, there is a lot of teams who are under pressure to get back up as well, I would say. My old clubs, you know, Wigan, I want to do well. Blackpool, I'd like to see them, you know, give it a go as well. But again, it's a tough league, and like you said, the big six, seven, eight teams maybe can't really see anybody coming in apart from any of them mentioned. And again, the bottom six to eight clubs, I think it could be a long season.
Great to talk to you, mate. Any more gratuitous name dropping to do, or are we done for this particular episode?
We're done at the minute, Clem. You know me, it's good to talk. It's good to talk, my mate. And look, it's sun shining. We're winning at the minute. Everything's good. And I'm sure, you know, we'll have our day moments as well. But I'll try and be as positive as I am now, my mate.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, Clem.
I thought he was going to burst into a poem there for a second. A big thank you to Mike Flynn and Tom Ince. If you've enjoyed listening, please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. I'm Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.